Now you'll find my text in John chapter 1 and verse 36. John chapter 1 and verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. Dear congregation, in Revelation 5 verse 12 we read, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. Oh, let us tonight, at the beginning of this new year, focus on Christ who is so worthy. Worthy is the Lamb, we read there in Revelation. He is so worthy. And why, amongst other things? Because he is the Lamb of God, which was offered up as the sacrifice and satisfied divine justice. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Oh, let us join him in offering praise. There's so many offering praise in heaven at this moment. Millions upon millions are giving praise to Christ. So many are taken by the love of Christ, and together there in that place, they are singing in full view of him. They're so lost in wonder as they behold him, and their hearts are stirred. Too recently, went to that place, the Reverend David Silversides and the Reverend F.J. Harris, and there they are tonight, singing the praises of the Lamb, having their hearts so stirred. He is in full view, and they rejoice in view of him. Well, we cannot see him. But let us exercise faith and be found joining him with those in heaven in praising the Lamb. We're to look unto Jesus. We're to exercise faith, and we are to praise him. Are you tonight, at the beginning of this year, beholding him with the eye of faith? Well, here John said, Behold the Lamb of God. They were to consider Christ. They were to look at him. They were to view him also with the eye of faith. Well, let's just pick up the reading here to give us the background. In verse 35, we read again, The next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, Looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. John the Baptist had a number of followers called disciples. That's plain in verse 35. Who was John the Baptist? Well, he was a forerunner. Young people, a harbinger. One who went before to announce the coming of the Lord. Back in Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 we read, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. He was sent, and he prepared the way. He pointed men and women to Christ. Well, John, being born before our Lord, as we know, entered his public ministry before him. So he went on before, and he made known Christ. Now just come with me back a little to verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. He makes it plain. He was the one sent to go before the Lord, to point men and women unto him. Well, with this in mind, Just come with me again to verse 35. And the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And there we see him pointing these two unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. These two disciples had Christ pointed out to them. One of the disciples was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, as we notice in verse later down in the chapter, verse 40. The other, well, it was likely to be John, the writer of this gospel, who often chose to conceal himself. Well, they heard our Lord, rather they heard John the Baptist speak, "Behold the Lamb of God," and they heard him and they followed Jesus. So instead of now going along with John, they would go along with Jesus. Well, let us tonight, we who love the Lord, behold Christ afresh. And for any without Christ, that you would behold him for the first time. Behold the Lamb of God. Well, let's consider, first of all, looking upon Jesus. Secondly, pointing men to Jesus. Thirdly, following Jesus. And if time permits, fourthly, observed by Jesus. And you just think of this. The Christian is following Christ. The Christian is observed by Christ as they follow him. Observed by Jesus. Well, first of all, tonight, looking upon Jesus. Come with me to verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Consider John, he was looking upon Jesus. And then he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He looks on Jesus and then he stirred to speak out and to point these two disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ. He looks on Jesus. He looked upon Jesus as he walked. He saw the Lord walking. He took note of the Lord walking and how he walked. Looking upon Jesus. John's eye was on the Lord. Is your eye on the Lord tonight? It's a good thing, isn't it, to often stop and look upon Jesus with the eye of faith. Having the word in our hands and behold him walking, that we might follow in his steps, as Peter makes plain. We're to often be considering him and how he walked, that we might follow in his steps. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, we read in Ephesians. Looking on Jesus, observing how he walked. And that's a help to us, isn't it? I often used to remember my mum saying to me, "What would the Lord do in this situation? Go to the Word of God. Look on Jesus. Observe how he walked. You may be in a situation and you're mocked. You remember how Jesus turned the other cheek." How often do we turn the other cheek and walk as Jesus walked? Well, here John, he beholds Jesus walking. And then he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Well, let's open this up a little further as we note these words. Looking upon Jesus as he walked. First of all, he looked on with faith in his heart. John was a believer. He was trusting in the one. He was observing. He was believing in Christ. He believed that Christ was the sacrifice. The one who would satisfy divine justice. He looks on Jesus with faith. Are you looking on Jesus with faith tonight? We can't see him. What a sight there is of Christ in heaven, but we can't see him. Are you looking on Jesus tonight with faith? And you're observing how he walked. You looking, you beholding him. What do we read in Psalm 27? That desired the psalmist to behold the beauty of Christ. Are you beholding the beauty of Christ. You're looking on him by faith. You're considering, that's how he walked. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth, as we will consider a little later tonight. Looking on with faith. This is someone here, you haven't got faith. You have a knowledge of Christ, but not a saving knowledge. You know certain things. You behold Christ in Scripture, but you don't look on him by faith. Has your mind gone to heaven tonight as you've considered Christ? Are you thinking of him? He's on the throne being so worshipped, and you're looking on him. You're looking to him. You know he's there. You know he's in your heart. Are you looking on Jesus tonight with faith? Secondly, John, he looked on one whom he loved. Looking upon Jesus as he walked. His eyes were drawn to Jesus. Have you been drawn to Jesus? What do we consider around the table this morning? Kiss me. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. There's the believer taken with Christ and the love of Christ. Draw me, we will run after thee. The heart is drawn. Is your heart drawn to Jesus? Is there love arising in your soul and going towards heaven at this moment? Are you looking on Jesus with love? You've got the eye of faith, you're looking. And alongside faith, there is love. You think of the fruit of the Spirit again. Love, joy, peace. Are these graces being cultivated? Are they growing? You're looking and you're loving. John looked on him as one he loved. In a moment we consider he was the friend of the bridegroom. John chapter 3 verse 36. Rather another portion. The friend of the bridegroom. He knew the Lord. He was a friend. And he loved Jesus. He loved the Lord. John lived in admiration of Christ. He looked on by faith with love in the soul. The bridegroom had touched his heart and warmed his soul. He loved the Lord. Are you looking on Jesus tonight with love? Remember in the Song of Solomon, this is my beloved, this is my friend. This is my friend, this is my beloved. I love thee. Are you looking on Jesus tonight? You talking to Jesus? I love thee, Lord Jesus. Looking upon Jesus as he walked. Thirdly, he looked upon Jesus as a friend. He looked upon Jesus as a friend. John chapter 3 verse 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. The friend of the bridegroom. Is that you tonight? Dear child of God, you're a friend of the bridegroom. What a blessing to be a friend. To be a friend of the bridegroom. And you see Jesus as your friend. This is my friend. You looking on Jesus as your closest friend? You think of a good friend. You think of what we call a best friend. What do? You may phone them up often. Or in this modern age, you may send them a text message or a messenger message. You send them a quick message. They're a close friend. You want to speak to them often. Are you looking on Jesus as the one you want to speak to most often in your life, above anyone else? He's my friend. I look on him tonight. I want to speak to thee. Are you looking on Jesus as a precious friend, one you hold dear? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I get on fairly well with my sister, but oh, Christ is far closer to me. He's that close friend. Do you hold him dear? Do you highly value? You enjoy looking on Christ as a friend. My friend, this is my beloved and this is my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem, Song of Solomon 5, verse 16. My friend, behold the Lamb of God. Fourthly, he looked on with delight. Come with me again to chapter 3, verse 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Rejoiceth greatly. John looks on Jesus with joy. And then says, behold, the Lamb of God. He desires those two followers to know the joy he knows in his heart. Are you looking on Jesus with joy? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. There's times of sorrow. But you know, in some of my trials and in some of my greatest sorrows, I have found joy in exercising faith on Jesus. He looked on with delight. Are you looking on Jesus with delight tonight? You're looking at Jesus as he walked. Oh, how he walked for me here upon earth. The things he did. Oh, do you look on him with delight tonight? Fifthly, he looked on with great esteem and humility. He looked on with great esteem and humility. Come with me to verse 30 of chapter 3. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase. His fame would increase. John would go into the background. And John wanted to go into the background. John held Christ in great esteem. He highly valued him. And he looks on with this esteem and humility in his heart. Are you looking on Jesus tonight and you're lost in wonder? You have this esteem. What do we read in 1 Peter 2 verse 7? Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Is it an aid to your assurance tonight that you're a believer because Jesus is precious to you? Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Is he precious to you? And so you want to worship him. You want to read the Bible. If you neglect your Bible, if you neglect listening to Jesus, you shouldn't be surprised if you struggle a little bit. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Is he precious to you? Are you looking on Jesus as one precious? You hold him in great esteem. You have him in honour. Do you also look on with great humility? He must increase, but I must decrease. Less of me in my life this year and more of Jesus. Is that what you're saying? I want people to see more of Jesus in me. But less of me. He must increase, but I must decrease. You feel your unworthiness. You're conscious of your sin. You're amazed at Jesus. And you look on him with humility. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, we read here, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Are you looking? Have you looked in that initial way? Says someone here, you haven't looked in that initial way. Well, here comes the call in Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else. Will you who have looked keep turning to Jesus? Why do we at times take a while to turn to Jesus? And exercise faith. Keep turning your eye to Jesus. I used to remember often hearing these words in Sunday school at Kelmore in the afternoon. And these words used to just speak to me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I remember often as a boy, before going to school on Monday, listening to those words and then turning my eye towards the Lord Jesus. What a blessing. Keep turning your eye towards Jesus. A young lady may fall in love and she keeps catching the eye of the man, the young man. Do you keep catching the eye of Jesus? You're in love with Jesus, aren't you? You want to love him the more you look on with love. Keep turning. Catch his eye. Look to Jesus. Looking upon Jesus. Let's do it. We have faith. Let's exercise faith. Let's do it tonight. Young people, you have a week of education ahead of you. Turn your eye upon Jesus tonight. At each stage of the journey, you who are off to work tomorrow, turn your eye upon Jesus. At the crossroads in your trials, look on Jesus. Turn your eye upon Jesus. Here's John. He looks on Jesus. Are you doing it now? Are you admiring Jesus? Are you considering at the beginning of this year how he walked? And now you're saying, Lord, I want to walk in thy footsteps. And then, as I look at thee by faith, and I admire thee as my wonderful Saviour, admire thee as my wonderful Saviour, now I want to point men and women to Jesus. It's interesting here, isn't it? John, first of all, looks on Jesus. And then he points these two to him. And it begins that way, doesn't it? It begins by looking on Jesus ourselves before we speak of him. We need to be captivated by Christ so then we're able to go forward and point men and women to Jesus. We ourselves must be looking at Jesus. Secondly tonight, pointing men to Jesus. Pointing men to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Behold, see. Behold the Lamb of God. There's much here, isn't it? You so focus on Jesus. What a blessing. To be given faith that one can focus on Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. Well, John had an interest in him and he sought to promote his cause. Behold the Lamb of God. John Gill writes, a friend to his interest and seeks by all means to promote it and to bring souls unto him. You who love the Lord here tonight, pray to the Lord, use me this year, even more, to be able to point someone to Jesus. I have a friend I grew up with in Tottenham. When I started courting Sharon and coming down here, he stopped going to church. I was a good friend. He's a friend on Facebook. And that's one of the reasons why I put verses of scripture, gospel texts, from time to time on Facebook. So my friend who heard often the gospel is reminded of what he heard in the Sunday school he attended and through the preaching of Pastor Macron all those years ago. Seek to do something to point sinners to Christ. He's drawn, behold the Lamb of God. Is it not our desire that people would come to know our friend? You know you've got a friend and you want someone else to meet your friend. They're so kind, so gracious. You know, I got a friend. Jesus is so kind, so gracious, isn't he? He gently leads those that are with young. Consider his gentle dealings. Do not we desire to point men and women to him? It may not be easy in the workplace, but all just to do something, all to point men and women to Jesus. Yes, we want to be friendly, don't we? We want to help. We want men to see our good works and be found praising the Lord. Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We seek to do good works that sinners would turn to God and glorify him. But above all, we seek to point sinners to Jesus. The missionary Robert Moffat, who was from Scotland, wrote this. When he wrote to his parents, he was sailing to Africa, and he wrote this letter to his parents. Oh, that I had 1,000 lives and 1,000 bodies. All of them should be devoted to no other employment but to preach Christ. He so wanted to point sinners to Jesus. Behold, behold the Lamb of God. When we come to the last valley, do not we want to glorify Christ? On our deathbed, if we're given the strength and the clarity of mind to tell friends who may come and say goodbye to us, I have a wonderful Saviour and a wonderful friend. Behold, behold, the Lamb of God, here's John. He points these two to Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one chosen, the one who came, having agreed to the condition, who presented himself in perfect conformity to the law, who kept the law fully and completely, and suffered the penalty for the breach of the law. He was the one who came to meet the condition of life, the spotless Lamb of God. You think of a lamb, think of its eyes. Oh, what we have seen in the eyes of Christ by faith. Think of the wool of the lamb. Think of Christ. He's altogether free from sin. There's no unrighteousness in him. As we sang of in Psalm 92, the spotless Lamb of God, the sacrifice who suffered and died. 1 Peter 1 verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious blood of the Lamb without blemish. He was perfect, and yet he shed his blood, being charged with our sins. Oh, what he suffered. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was charged. Being charged with my sins, he bore them. He was punished for them. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He suffered. He died. He shed his precious blood. And we who love the Lord, we are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. If you're without Christ, I present to you the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Oh, that you would believe in him. And you who love Jesus tonight, just listen to these words. Behold the Lamb of God. this first Sabbath evening of this new year. Behold your Saviour. Behold the Lamb of God. Thirdly, following Jesus. Verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," and these two followed Jesus. They considered him and followed him. Their souls had been awakened, and now they were found following Jesus. Just come with me down to verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. We have found him. What a joy it was to Andrew. He had found the Lord. Now he was following the Lord. We have found him. His heart was taken. Now he's following. Are you following? Remember Matthew? The Lord spake to him just two words, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. How the Lord can change lives. Do you believe that the Lord will bless the church in days to come? He's more than able. I was reading a book, The Thought of God, by the Reverend Morris Roberts. There's some who believe it will just be doom and gloom. And subconsciously it leads one to consider not much is going to happen. But we have a great King who can just speak the word. And you who love the Lord here tonight, you're living testimonies that he just spake the word and you arose and followed him. You may not be able to pinpoint the exact moment, but you're the evidence of the power of Jesus Christ. He's able to change lives. But for the grace of God, what would we be doing in our lives at this moment? We were changed. Suddenly a man, woman, boy or girl can be found following the Lord. Believing is following. There's following in the heart, isn't there? Psalm 63 verse 8, "My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me." My soul followeth hard after thee. There's this activity in the soul. We follow the Lord, do we not? This heart religion. Oh, just consider Andrew. "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. His heart was taken with Christ. He had to bring his brother. There's a following in the heart. What a blessing to have the heart touched. And we look on Jesus with a heart of love and we want to get closer to Jesus. We want to follow him even more at the beginning of this year. Is it not your desire to follow Jesus even more with a heart full of love? "My soul followeth hard after thee." That's how I want to follow the Lord this year. I don't like the winter time. Not many people do they? We don't like the winter in our souls. Oh, for a summertime. As it were, when we're so running after the Lord. There can be times when the soul is sluggish. Oh, for such motion. "My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me." I remember a number of years ago, I was walking out to Hurst Castle. And I didn't really want to walk. And I was lifting up my feet, making hard work, and I was moaning to my mum and dad, "I don't want to walk. I don't want to go there." So I sat down. Sometimes we murmur as Christians. Oh, to be so following Christ. "My soul followeth hard after thee." My soul, my eyes focused on Christ, and my heart is following. Religion in the heart. As we think of this, think of Christ. Listen to his voice. Consider what he is saying. Pray for help to be obedient. Ardently desire to follow him. And then embark. Follow the Lord in your soul. Be obedient. Are you seeking to live for him? Are you seeking to be more like Jesus? For that's part of following him. Ephesians 5 verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us. Imitis is the Greek word. Followers of God. Let's seek to imitate Christ this year. Years ago, I used to seek to pretend to be somebody else. A wrestler, Big Daddy. And my sister was Giant Haystacks. And so I imitated Big Daddy. I tried to be like him. You may try to be like someone. Or to be more like Christ. If we're to be more like Christ, we need to consider him. We need to think about him. We need to exercise faith. Walk in love. Oh, for more love in my heart for you this year, so that I'm more like Christ. If any bitterness arises, if any murmuring spirit comes to your heart, you're not like Christ in that. Walk in love. Next Lord's Day evening, we'll consider Enoch, who walked with God. Walk with Christ tonight. Oh, for great love in our hearts. Oh, to be more like him. We hear these two, they followed Jesus. What a blessing to be following Jesus. They followed Jesus, and so they were found worshipping the Lord, listening to him in prayer, spending time with him. That's plain, isn't it? If we want to follow Jesus more this year, we want to spend more time with Jesus. Just note these words here, verse 39. He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. They spent time. I want to spend more time with Jesus this year. And so we read in the Song of Solomon, tell me where thou feedest. I know. But keep telling me, Lord Jesus, because I want to so spend time with thee. In following Jesus, we want to spend time with him. Revelation 14, verse 4, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. You follow him. You seek to spend time with him. Listen to Gill commenting on those words. These follow Christ in the exercises of the grace of humility, patience and love, in the performance of the several duties of religion, subjection to the ordinances, and in the path of suffering, and in every way in which Christ the Lamb has gone before them, or in his word or providence leads and directs them to. Follow the Lamb. Follow him to heaven, and he will welcome you. Well, as we close now, just briefly, fourthly, observed by Jesus. Looking upon Jesus, pointing sinners to Jesus, following Jesus, verse 37. Then, as we close, verse 38, observed by Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following. From heaven, he looks on many of us here tonight and sees us as those who have followed him by believing in him. Is there someone here? You know Jesus is there. He's looking down and he doesn't see you following him. Jesus says, come unto me. You go. You believe. You confess your sins. You follow him. There's no one else, as we read in Isaiah 45, verse 22. But let's, in closing, consider here two disciples noticed by Jesus. Jesus turned. It's humbling to know, isn't it, that Jesus observes everything we do. He knows every murmur we have had about other Christians. It's all recorded. All known. He knows those things we have done that we don't want other Christians to know about. How amazing is Jesus that he does not turn us away. He knows everything. Think how Peter must have felt when he caught the eye of Jesus, when he denied him. Jesus looks on Peter. What a blessing when we're aware that Jesus is looking on us and we mourn over our sin. Remember Peter, he went out and wept bitterly. He felt his sin. He was conscious that Jesus was looking on. And it's humbling, isn't it? When suddenly we're aware Jesus was looking on. As a boy in the evening service, I used to fidget at times. I used to mess around. And I was conscious my granddad was looking on. I remember one particular time, and I don't advocate organs at the front of church, let alone at the back. But my mum used to sit on an organ. And I was messing around in church, and I looked up and I caught my mum's eye. And I dropped down my head. I knew I had to go and see mum after the service. It's humbling, isn't it, when we a conscious Jesus looks on and we hang our heads. But let's be thankful when we're brought to that moment when Jesus looks on and we know he's looking on. We felt him. But let's consider here. Jesus observes them following. He took notice. He takes notice of his disciples. He knows all. He sees all. He looks on in a special way. He observes our faith. He observes our love, our devotion. He has a heart for us, and he looks on in the Song of Solomon 7, verse 10. I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. He has such a heart. He has such a desire. We think of the husband's desire towards the wife. A strong desire. Think of the desire of Christ. You wives, you're conscious at times that your husband's looking at you. He loves you. He's looking at you. Christ loves you and he's looking at you. He has a desire. His desire is towards me. He observes me then. He observes how I'm walking. Every step he observes. He observes how I'm following him in trials. He observes how I'm following him in exercising faith. It's all known. He knows when we stumble. But he also knows when we, as it were, we go forward a little quicker. He knows when we're looking to him. He knows when we're trusting him. He knows when we're believing the promises of God's word. He knows when we're leaning on him. There was an old man who was conscious that I was fast asleep and I was leaning on him. The Lord is conscious when we're leaning on him. When we're at our wit's end and we cry to him and we trust him, Jesus observes this. He observes how we're following. He observes when our love is so full and we so love him. He observes when you're praying, when you're really praying. If somebody listened on to your prayer, they may say, well, that's not a very eloquent prayer. But Jesus is listening and knows that the words are coming from your heart. Don't be put off by people who listen to you and think, oh, they didn't say that right. But you tried to say it and you meant it from your heart. Jesus takes note of those prayers that are meant from the heart. You noticed on Friday I'm trying to ask different people to pray, so it gives opportunity for everybody who comes to this prayer meeting on Friday night to pray. I don't want anyone left out. I don't want that one who struggles in prayer to be left out, because sometimes those prayers are the greatest prayers that Jesus hears. He looks on, he sees how you're following him. How amazing to be noticed by Christ. He loves you. His desire is towards you. He looks on with delight tonight. There's one of my followers. And they've submitted to me. They're leaning on me. They're trusting me. He looks on with delight. How amazing to be noticed by Jesus. How humbling, but how amazing. Dear congregation, how thankful I am to be noticed by Jesus in a special way. He looks on each believer. And then one day he'll look on you as you step into heaven. Or to look by faith upon him. Or to look on him with delight. Oh, to follow him more closely this coming year. As I close, may Jesus notice in my heart, in your heart, more faith, more love, more affection, more trust, more zeal, more enthusiasm, more diligence, more of a concern to follow him. Amen. Let us pray.